Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast, and this week we're discussing the biggest Xbox leak in history. We're looking ahead to the Switch 2's potential launch lineup. We're asking why there are so many industry layoffs, or at least that's what I would be saying. If you're listening to the Eurogamer Newscast, hello, I'm Tom, Eurogamer's editor and host of our weekly discussion podcast, where we break down the biggest gaming news stories and share insight from our news reporting team. Head to your favorite podcast app now to listen. Just search Eurogamer Newscast.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
There is something in the auto chess, but you are actively playing the battles.
So chess.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Pitch Please, the game design-ish podcast by people who play games for people who make games. I'm Tom, and I don't normally do the intro. I'm also joined by Chris.
Hi. I understand why Alex does the intro now, but even his aren't great, and he's had a lot of practice. But that was that was poor.
It was okay. It was fine. It was fine. Well, we're also joined by James.
Hello.
Now, you might be wondering, where's Alex? Well, we just spent 15 minutes waiting for him to turn his PC on because it's been an actual month since his PC has been turned off. So while he's gone, I was like, let's just start. And he can listen to this when he puts it all together. And we're just lambasting him for his poor care for his PC.
Well,
Horrible care.
He'll be here at one point. He'll just join. Hopefully he doesn't join, say something like his usual horrible misogynistic remarks that he says before going live.
I know, because it will all be captured. What's the idea today? Because I'm out.
I've got an idea. Are we actually doing this now? Are we going to start now?
We're going to have to re-explain it to him.
No, it's okay. This is going to be the pure environment where you pitch it to the level-headed of the four of us.
I think.
The two level-headed of the four of us. And then when Alex comes in and says something like, that reminds me of mushrooms, we'll be like, okay.
Okay. I was going through the Trello. And I stumbled across one idea, which is not my core pitch, I wanted to share it with you.
Do you mean you have multiple pitches? Or
I have one pitch, but I just wanted to read this idea out to you because it shows off just how terrible my note-taking is and what the hell was I thinking at the time.
How deep your Trello goes.
Yeah, so this is kind of preparing you for the main idea, right? So
sure, a nice starter.
So the game is called Metronome, a rhythm game.
It's got a name.
Oh yeah, this one has a name. So Metronome, a rhythm game.
Okay,
where you are a gnome.
I like it.
Gnome things.
I like it.
But to nice gnome music.
Wonderful.
Could be a nice game for Playdates console using the analog crank. That was all I wrote.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, hi, Alex. We started.
You need to start your recording real quick. Going forward, I love the idea that you had a pun and you just said, right, that's it. That's the idea. That's the game idea.
This is just... an idea.
This is not the idea. This was
just a little sample menu. Bouche.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. You've arrived in the restaurant a little late. We've already had starters. There's some bread on the
this
table.
This is the unlimited breadsticks.
Right. Some olives.
All right. Right. Anyway, the main course is ordered. I ordered for you, by the way, Alex. I hope you like this.
Okay. So here's the core pitch. Right, Alex, you're with us now. Here's the core pitch. We're in the elevator. We're going down or up. It's
we're
up
in
to
an
you.
Elevator restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all crowded. Okay. The restaurant is at the top of the elevator. So, right. Okay.
So it's on the top of the elevator.
Exactly. So we've got to crawl through the ducting. It's
such a dangerous restaurant.
So my idea is a multiplayer, single screen action beat 'em up. Think Duck Game or Towerfall. Meets
Duck Game,
Scrap Heap Challenge, Robot Wars, and Tetris.
Hang on. Okay, wait, hang on.
A lot of franchises roll into one. Yeah.
And the first one you said, I don't actually know. What's Duck Game?
Duck Game.
Oh, I'll let you do it.
Go on, Chris.
I was going to say, it's a multiplayer shooter with ducks with guns, isn't it? If I remember correctly. I've got it on Switch.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, it's just called Duck. It's on the Switch. It's just called Duck Game.
It's just Duck Game. It's just ducks with guns.
It's great.
Okay, now, and what's the next one after Duck Game?
Towerfall. You've played Towerfall, bow and arrows, you jump around, shoot each other.
Okay. Arena based. And one after that?
Scrap Heap Challenge.
Okay, Scrap Heap Challenge. I know Scrap Heap
Challenge.
Scrap Heap Challenge.
I love
Build
Scrap
machines
Heap Challenge.
And scrap. Yeah.
Robot Wars.
I know Robot
Everyone
Wars.
Everyone knows Robot yeah. Wars.
And, or BattleBots for the US.
And a bit of Tetris.
Okay. For some reason, when you started saying all of these franchises and names, that took up all of my brain and the idea got pushed out. So do the start again.
So a multiplayer, single screen, action beat 'em up.
Okay. Where does the Tetris
screen,
come in?
Action beat. All the Scrap Heap
Challenge. All the
guys.
Robot Wars.
Just chill. It's okay.
I know, the games I understood, it was the TV references.
So the basic
that's
idea.
That's what they are. Yeah.
The basic idea. You're a bipedal robot. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And you need to pick parts to build up your body. So there'll be a choice of arms, legs, and chest.
Okay.
And when you go in, so these parts will be randomized. And there'll be a pool of parts that you can pick from.
As in, the ones you can pick from are randomized, like you've got three to choose from, and that's a random selection.
Yeah, so there's some things that I need help sorting out. It's like, does everybody share the same pool of parts, or does everybody have randomized parts that they can choose from? So anyway, you're a robot. You pick parts and build up your body, and before you go into rounds and beat each other up. Now, the core mechanic is that these parts age and wear out over time, and there will be bonuses for if you match parts together. So I'm thinking like the Borderlands guns, it would be great if there was like loads and loads and loads of parts, different manufacturers for each of the parts. You might get bonuses for combining parts together, but you might not be as OP as, say, if you went, I'm going to pick the crazy rocket legs and the rocket arms that doesn't quite go well with this other part.
So are you saying that it's a beat 'em up, but you build the creatures and then you fight them? You're actually controlling the fighting element.
Build 'em up, beat 'em up. Exactly.
Build 'em up, beat 'em down.
There's the tagline.
That's good.
So, build 'em up, beat 'em down. I like that. Yeah. Now, beat them off.
So before we get into the type effectiveness and linking things together, because I've got some ideas for that. When you said the upgrades wear off over time, is that over the course of one battle or is that over the course of like a career?
So I think there'll be two factors here. One is that the parts will over time age and, you know, rust and become ineffective. So that there's an element of strategy in this game where you have to decide now is a good time to swap this part out. So you might be like, I really love these rocket legs. I really know how to use them. I get a good combination with the other parts, but I've had them for three rounds now, and there's a chance that they'll fail next game. But there'll also be, when you get knocked out, you will take damage to your parts, and your parts will, again, wear over time. And we can randomize that. That could be like, just by getting knocked out, it doesn't necessarily mean you lose a part. You might deal damage across the three parts.
So you could have a very powerful addition to your mech, but the drawback is that it wears out quickly.
Exactly.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
And you'll be like, I've got another use in it. I know I do. I can last one more round with these arms. And then mid game they might just break or stop functioning.
Like if they stop functioning mid game, you still have to finish the fight with no arms.
Yeah, you still have to finish the fight. Exactly.
Cool.
So, So the next thing that I've got written down here is that levels will be designed with a number of hazards, as you'd expect, like all of these kinds of games, like Smash as well. And there will be pickups. So you can pick up things like damage boost, repair. You can repair parts mid-game if you pick up the repair section. There'll be shield, speed. And also an idea for a self-destruct power-up, which would be You could decide to destroy all of your own parts to win a round, but everyone else would take damage.
Whilst you were talking about scrap heaps and picking parts, and whether people share the same pool of parts, do you know those huge scrap like grabbers? I think that's it should start with like an over top-down view of that. Everyone has a grabber and there are just like belts of parts coming through. I think that's how everyone should like just try and grab parts. It shouldn't be an easy thing to do, but you have, obviously it's timed. So if you drop and the conveyor's moving, you might miss it because you've not allowed to move once it's dropped. I think that could be quite fun as a nice little, like, you've got a minute to... I'm waiting for this part that I know how to use and I want to grab, but there's a risk that you might not get it. So you might have to quickly grab something at the end. Like there should be, I think everything should have a default. So like you have default arms to do the base and you get the upgrades when you pick them, because otherwise you'd be like, I've only got one leg, what do I do? And it's like, well, you've now got one leg, how does that play? So you'd have to have, I think, like a default thing, but it's more of like a replacement. You're grabbing replacements, and I think that could do a nice little fun way of having that little before the fight begins, is having people like
that. So that was my Tetris bit, was like, do you just get, you know, when, like in Tetris, you see the next piece that's coming up, is it just that when you're in the lobby waiting to go into the next round, you see the pieces that you can pick from? But I wanted something quite fast paced. I just wonder if the claw, I mean, maybe that could still be fast paced. You know, there's like a bonus round, quick pick the parts, then you go into like your customization pre-game section.
I think whatever you pick up, because I'm imagining like the type effectiveness, I'm sort of boiling it down to elemental type effectiveness just for the time being, where if you have fire legs and fire arms and a fire helmet or whatever, then they work better together, and, you know, lightning stuff and ice stuff, whatever else. Obviously they can be literally anything else, but that's just how I'm imagining it in my head at the moment. But in that hectic kind of claw grabby mini game before the next battle, someone is like, well, you've been winning the last four games and you've got four like fire items. I'm going to grab this fire thing so you can't have it. And then they decide, yeah, I've grabbed it, so it's now part of my machine. Or maybe they have an opportunity to sell it or whatever. And speaking of selling it, it kind of, when you were talking about picking parts and having pieces come up in between rounds, it was making me think of auto chess or super auto pets, that sort of thing, where the random machines come up and you have an opportunity to, you know, spend a certain amount of gold in between rounds, or you could sell the parts that you have. You can buy duplicates of the things that you already own to then upgrade them potentially. But then it, you know, it turns it into a, you know, the selection stage, the shop stage of an auto chess game, but the game itself, you're actively playing it. So how much does the things you're picking directly conflict with the skill you have in just playing the game? I still think it's kind of cool. Like trying to pick the stuff that you already have as an upgrade, and people in that hectic claw game counterpicking so you can't have it. That could be pretty fun, I think. And I think even with the claw game, it could be hectic enough, and like seeing someone's claw go down to the thing you really want, and you're like, oh, then it drags away.
I sort of had in my head, you know, I love that. Have you played Ultimate Chicken Horse?
Yeah.
The frantic pre-game thing where you're all fighting over the power-up, and it's like, who grabs whatever first? You know, that I really love that that interaction. And so, yeah, bringing that into this as a way to be like, I'm just taking that part. And that was always good about Scrap Heap Challenge as well. When people were running around the Scrap Heap going, I found a whole car that works, funnily enough, so I'm going to take this. And then someone else has found, you know, the perfect half a boat to make whatever they're making. So yeah, I definitely like that. I am still unsure if there should be a cost. I've got written here, I'm unsure whether there should be a cost for parts. So is there you know, should you get some sort of money for breaking down parts, or, you know, does that maybe get you another go on the grabber or something, or do you just get given parts? I still don't know. I do like the grabber aspect though.
Yeah. Being able to purchase parts, I guess you run into the problem of if you are getting currency for winning, then it's just going to snowball, right?
What if the grabber was
how you earn money. So you're actually just, you're picking up scrap, but there are like nice bits of scrap that come through, and that's what everyone races to get, right? And maybe that then you can spend your money in the store. Mm. So there's like the preamble of, oh, how much money can I grab? Mm. And maybe you can hinder each other that way as well.
I feel like you could also not just give money for winning the game, because then, yeah, it would snowball. Then again, the degradation of certain parts on the robot after, say, you know, 3 games, this rocket launch is going to fail or whatever, that would counteract the snowballing. But you could have things like, there's coins in the map, and if you pick up all the coins in the while actually battling, then you've got more coins for the next one. So people are then fighting over, there's a chest in the corner, whoever blows it up first gets all the stuff, and everyone's fighting for that area of the map. Or maybe modifiers come up at the start of every battle that's like, survive the longest, and you're just like stuck in the corner trying not to fight, and people are chasing after you. Or, I don't know, places a target on your head. You get double gold for surviving as long as you can, and everyone is then hunting you down. Something to switch up the, I guess, the battles themselves.
Hmm. Is, in James, in your head, the map, I know it's a single screen, is it fixed camera or does it zoom out to have a, there's a larger map and you can spread out? Because Tom was saying area of the map, and if it's like a towerful or
area of the screen, I don't know, I was just imagining.
Yeah, yeah, it just depends on what kind of gameplay you want to go with.
When I first pictured this, I did picture it as some sort of like pixel art, single fixed camera kind of game. And then it's like, oh, but it would be cool if it were like maybe more like a Smash thing where you've got a dynamic camera and you can have, you know, much more fidelity in the designs of the robots and all the parts. But you can get away with a lot with pixel art.
Have you ever played Bushido Blade? You want to ever play that on the PlayStation? No. So that was a really, really early... Like, it's not in terms of the actual fighting, it wouldn't be anything like this, but it was like a samurai versus game. It was meant to be like realistic damage, and it was like one cut in the right place and you would die. But the battles would take place on PlayStation 1. The battles would take place over like 10, 15 minutes, because the thing about it was that you had these quite large sprawling maps for a beat 'em up. It was still a beat 'em up. It was a side scroller, but you would use the terrain to your advantage or to your enemy's disadvantage. And like, I suppose I'm almost thinking like Power Stone, I guess, as well, if we played that on the Dreamcast.
Power Stone on the Dreamcast?
Yeah, do you remember that?
Oh my God. Power Stone? What are these references we're dropping today?
Power Stone is very Smash-like, actually. Maybe it's more like that. But like, I really like the idea of having the environment have quite a large effect.
Yeah, I definitely picture the environment, you know, having lots of different kinds of levels. It keeps it all very fresh. The thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around is this more like Duck Game, where it's all kind of shooting each other from a distance, so you've got lots of rocket arms, you've got laser hands, machine gun arms, whatever, you know, or is it like, no, you've got to get into the thick of it and you're actually fighting, like, you, and punching each other with a maybe a bit of shooting from distance? I mean, What do people think?
Oh, man. Sorry, just really quick. Duck Game, looking at it now, it reminds me of this really old, like, I think it must have been on like Miniclip or something. It was like a Flash game. It was a 2D side-scrolling pixely battle game where you were a guy with a jetpack. That is just like a nostalgia hit, and I've got no idea what it is. But then
maybe
again,
someone else will
Alex
know.
Alex did just mention Power Stone on the Dreamcast. That, so I mean,
is Power Stone like not that well known? I thought it was like the biggest Dreamcast game other than Sonic.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was like a launch title. There was two of them, I think.
Has anybody played Bubble Bobble?
Yes.
Real nostalgia hit for that as well.
So, I mean, Duck Game looks like it seems like ranged battle, right? But can it not be both? Could you have, depending on what...
Yeah, I was saying, it depends on the loadout you choose, right? You could have melee characters, so you spec like a bigger chest to have more armor. Mm. Also, by the way, there are two versions of Duck Game. They remade it for Switch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you're probably looking at... I'm assuming you're looking at the old arcade one?
Maybe. But I'm still imagining that sort of pixely, side-scrolly, tower-fally sort of thing, where the screen doesn't necessarily move around. Maybe when it's a 2v2 and you get the final hit in, it zooms in a ton and shows that final hit in slow motion or whatever. But I'm imagining that basically. I think, depending on the loadout, you could have, you know, claw hands and that is your attack. And everyone knows that you've got these claw hands and you're dashing towards them with your jet boots, which they let you pick up in the selection phase. And you're just dashing towards them and destroying them. However, there is also ranged options as well. And I think it, after a few games playing with different people, you'll know, oh, that guy is really fucking good with the flamethrower. We cannot let him have that again because he destroyed us last time.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing, I'm still imagining the claw thing. You're seeing his claw go down and pick it up and you're like, oh, well, GG, we've lost. He's got the flamethrower again.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Just to clarify before I get a comment in the section, there wasn't a remake of Duck Game. I have confused Duck Game, that version, with the game called Blazing Beaks.
Blazing Beaks?
Yeah. I do remember Duck Game, but I remember this visually.
Oh, a top-downy kind of Binding of Isaac-y control thing, right?
Okay. Yeah, I just remember the characters, and I was like, oh, yeah,
also
that's
on Switch.
A game with ducks. That's the one I have on Switch, not Duck Game.
Oh, right. Okay.
With the loadout choice, to avoid people just picking the same thing over and over, could there be like, I've been thinking of some kind of like draft phase almost. You know, like how in like MOBAs, you'll get a draft phase where you have each side will get an opportunity to pick from a pool of heroes. You'll get, okay, now you pick your hero, and then, but with this, it would be different parts from a pool of parts. Would that give like a bit more of variety to each battle?
I was trying to think that because the parts would never last for very long, that you're forcing players to change up their loadout all the time. Certain parts may only last for one round, for example, or you may get two or three out of them. And then by randomizing the parts and having a sheer number of parts, I was trying to think it would be hard for players to get completely used to certain parts, although they may have their preferences, but they would always have to change. They'd always have to try something else because that part's going to break.
What if, I'm trying to think of a way to help alleviate that problem. And the only thing I could think of is what if you could shoot parts off people and then either swap them out on the fly. So they have to then pick up your old arm and then they have to then, that changes the way they're playing, right?
That's
the only thing I could think of.
Maybe that's the reward for, you know, knocking someone out is you always lose a part if you get knocked out. And losing that part, you can then go and pick it up and maybe keep it for next time or do the swap on the fly.
It's like CSGO where everyone picks up their weapon they want to take into the next round. So it's kind of like continuous.
Maybe parts are only available in the round. But I kind of like the idea that it would be, you know, a sheer number of parts in the selection phase that kind of get randomly dealt out.
If you have it so the parts only drop in the battle, then they are just power-ups from a regular fighter game, right? Like, I think the point of it is to build a machine before the fight begins and then just see how it fares against whatever the other people have built. And I guess that in my head is what's making it more auto-chessy, super auto-pets in my mind, where like, you've got your loadout, you're building it. I mean, it also goes against the claw idea. You're building in secret, and then you go into the next battle, and you're like, "Ha ha! See, I got all the electricity parts."
Building in secret on the same screen.
On the same screen.
Don't look
at
my screen.
I forgot it was a local co-op game.
But yeah, I mean, I was thinking that I was thinking very arcadey, you know, it's going to be four players tops. They're all going to be sharing the same screen. Even if it was online, you'd all see what each other are doing. But maybe there is a secret. Maybe there is a way to modernize it, and you've got your secret pool of parts. You've got your, you know, you've got your garage.
Yeah, like in terms of having secret pools of like secret parts, like could you have what you were talking about with power-ups, Tom? Like, could you also have that? So you have like your own secret build that you would bring in that people wouldn't necessarily know about before you, you know, before you go into the selection phase. But the selection phase itself is power-ups in addition to what your build is.
Yeah, could do.
Just let's just not make this a deck builder. I'm not sure this is a deck builder type game.
Well, I don't think it's far off. It's getting that way.
But I like the idea that everyone can see everything that's happening.
Okay. And, yeah, I think if it's built as a local multiplayer game, then you can't have any secrets. And I guess that's what makes the Claw game sort of thing work in between whatever the selection process is. I think we've just latched onto this Claw thing. Get it?
Nice.
And that's just become what it is for the time being. But whatever the selection process for building your robots in between, I like the idea that the other players can interrupt or interfere with what you're building, either by selecting what you're aiming for before you do, so they've got it themselves, or I don't know, some other way where they steal stuff off you. Maybe your pilot runs off to pick up a little piece, and while the other players should be picking up their pieces, they've run over to your mech and they're starting to like wrench stuff off of it.
God. When did mechs happen?
Yeah, good question.
I just had them when as robots. Mechs happen? They're just
your engineers.
That was last
then.
Week.
Yeah, that was last week. Yeah, well, 2 weeks ago.
How often
do we release these now?
Monthly.
Who knows?
Okay, so. What actually is the structure of the game at the moment? Like, how does it, is it in terms of the phases, like you have this build phase or the selection phase, and then you go in, how do you win a game? Is it literally just a health bar, like a normal beat 'em up?
So I saw it being very much like Towerfall in the way that you just, it's be like the first to 20 knockouts. So I didn't actually imagine you would have a health bar. I imagined it would just be like you take one massive punch to the face and you're down, or you get shot, you're out.
Okay,
that kind of thing. Like Towerfall is. You've got basically one life unless you're quick enough to grab a arrow. There might be things that happen in this. You know, we talked about power ups. You know, you pick up shields and stuff to give you a little bit of extra health, but
yeah,
or hits. But no, I imagined it would be like one hit, you're out.
Okay, so it's pretty safe. You have to be pretty safe with the gameplay then. You have to be pretty it's quite guarded gate. It's not just like a straightforward run in and like start spamming buttons.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. That's where maybe the idea diverges. Is it like you've got health? Is it like a smash kind of thing? Or you just, you know, you can take multiple hits and multiple shots? Or is it like mostly ranged and
one and done?
One and done kind of thing.
If I remember correctly, Towerfall, you have to pick your arrows back up, right? And that makes it more risky.
When you get hit, you drop your arrow. If you get hit again without the arrow, you die.
No, I thought if you shot it, you had to go pick it up.
That's, Chris is right. You have to get, you've got three arrows to start with. Once you fired all your arrows, you've got nothing to shoot with. So you've got
which
to
is
go
why
collect
that
them.
Health system works, because you have to be sparing with your shots. You need to know if I'm taking a shot, I think I'm going to hit.
Mm.
Because otherwise I need to go and get them. I'm going to be defenseless.
If
so there needs to be
rightly, Duck Games got ammo. So, you know, you're not going
to, there
just
needs
be
to be like an energy bar. Maybe it fills up, but you can, maybe you can do a shot where it uses all of it in one go. Like you can choose to be defenseless for X seconds because you've taken a big shot of like energy blast or something.
How,
right.
How is that going to work?
There needs to be some reward and risk to doing that.
Yeah. I was going to say like, how is that going to work if different robots, like you're going to have different ways of attacking, right, between different players?
Yeah, but each one could have a specific base shot and then like a fully charged shot.
Right.
Even if it's melee, you could do like a normal and then like a big one, maybe late charge, right? But that leaves you defenseless because maybe if you hit a wall, you get dizzy for 2 seconds and then you're like, oh shit, I need to make sure this hits. There needs to be, for like doing something cool, if it goes wrong, there needs to be like a failure state for that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
it
increases
the risk.
Like maybe shots, certain weapons take time to charge, And then once you've fired it once, you're going to be sitting there waiting for a long time for it to charge. Or maybe charging it up too much causes wear on the part. That's like, so you could be like, I've got this massive laser. If I sit here and charge for 2 minutes and just shoot a huge bolt across the screen, great. But I'm going to destroy the part immediately and...
It's like an insta kill, but you have to not get hit for 2 minutes.
But that would also change up what leg power ups you have, because you would then need a character who can constantly jump around like evade well, which exactly. might mean you have even less armor, or if you have lots of armor, you can maybe take another hit, but you move slower. So you decide to go for a gun that.
Yeah,
does I mean, X I'd, damage? Yeah, there's.
I'd imagine
a lot of
balancing
parts. That would have to happen.
So the arms and the legs, but also the body section. So the body section could be what handles how many hits you can take. But maybe it has,
It needs to have like a negative effect.
Yeah, maybe it's like the more hit points you've got, the heavier you are, so it's going to slow you down. So you're like, oh man, I really want the rocket boots to just give me that little extra boost. But then maybe that has the knock-on effect of. Using energy. Maybe we need to have some sort of energy bar per character that they can.
I feel like every individual part that you pick up can be geared to a particular stat, I suppose. I guess speed, strength, health, energy maybe could be another one. And certain ones that you pick up, like the jet boots, great for movement, use up a ton of energy and doesn't have a great amount of armor. But, you can move super quick with them. Whereas like a big shield, gives you a ton of health, makes you so slow. Mm. Things like that. And I guess building particular, like if you just build a Titan thing that has got loads and loads and loads of health, you've got the stat bonus from the gear that you've picked and is complementing each other. However, you are just extremely slow. But in the battle itself, people are spending ages just trying to whittle down your health and you just get these slow lumbering punches. And when they hit, they do a ton of damage, but it's so hard to do that. And that could just be a particular play style that people mess around with. Or maybe they build their own one. I think somewhere along the line, somehow I imagine this, I think it does need health bars and it does need to be kind of smashy in a way where you are wailing on these people for a while before they are eliminated, or not that long for people who are super weak or super quick or whatever. But somewhere along the line, I was imagining this kind of as a fighting sports tournament in the future where every big impact you do has got this cheering crowd in the background, and every mech that makes it through to the finale ends up on this hall of fame, and you get to name this mech and you can see the loadout, the champion of the last tournament.
Yeah.
And you have like this list of all these creations that you've gone throughout every tournament, and it just adds a bit of flair to it. And there's a commentator too.
Yeah.
Commentator is like,
we'll get Craig Charles in because that's the robot wars at angle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But even tiny little flares where, like, because I think in all of the chaos of X amount of robots fighting, let's say 4, you might miss, you've charged your laser for so long and it shatters off your arm. You might miss that, but maybe there's like a little commentator in the background. It's just like, player 2's arm has just been destroyed, and then the crowd is going nuts over that little thing. I guess it also depends how many commentators are there. Are they overlapping each other from all of the stuff that's going on at the same time?
That'd be like FIFA.
Yeah.
I think that could
be a nice theme to it and would add a lot of...
I agree.
A lot of fun to it.
I agree with that also.
And treating it like a tournament as well.
Makes me think of Unreal Tournament.
And then... because as Chris said, we've got Robot Wars over here. It's called Battle Bots in America. The title that I wrote down was Battle Bits, because you've got all these bits to choose from. Again, I didn't start with the name and work backwards. That's not how this works.
Choose your battle bit.
Yeah, that's a terrible name, but I like the bits. It's like, it's just loads of bits. You just pick from all the bits.
Tom, are you seeing this then as like... each arena is, there are different like environmental dangers with it, but it's all in the setting of like a Robot Wars style arena. And some of them have traps or like weird things on the walls, the spikes and stuff.
I think you could also maybe have certain things like there's vents on the wall I know that this player has picked a load of steam-powered weaponry or whatever. Right. So if they run over to that side of the wall, they then suck it all up. Or maybe there's a fire jet in the corner and someone's got heat generation weaponry or whatever, and they're like running over there. You're trying to stop them from getting over there because you know that's going to power them up. Things like that could be cool. I don't think it should be only detrimental things in the arena. I think part of the game is closely monitoring what everyone else has built and seeing what happens as a result of every fight that you get into, so that you can then say like, oh shit, I need to change up my strategy of what I've built, but also I need to change up my strategy against this particular robot. I think that could be pretty fun. Is this the next, was it called Arms on the Switch?
Arms, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Arms. That was a great game.
But we've got legs and chests too. That's what
arms, legs, and toes.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Brilliant.
Was Arms just to beat them up, but you chose, they just had, like, their arms were different? Was that the mechanic? Was that the...
They had different power-ups on their arms. Like, one of them would have, like, a boomerang arm.
Twist, punch,
one of them
twists.
I see, okay.
But it was a classic Nintendo game where it's like, oh, look at our controllers. Yeah. You can move them forward slightly.
I feel like what makes this so cool is that, like what you were saying earlier, Tom, about you have no choice but to see what the other person is doing. Like, even if it's local or multiplayer, everyone sees what everyone else is building, so it leans into that and like turns that into something fun rather than just like, oh, don't look at what I'm doing. It actually makes a mechanic out of it.
What if in the building stage it's turn based? So you pick your part, next person picks theirs, and it's a bit sort of, you're reacting to what the person before you has taken, and it changes who starts every time. So it's not always player one.
Well, like loser first or something like that.
Well, that's what I meant by the draft phase or like a draft element. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but picking parts instead.
Yeah.
Pick your bits.
Is that how you imagined it, James? Like, is that taking away from something?
No, that's not. I had imagined that everyone would just dive in at the same time and pick those parts, and there would be a lot of parts to pick from. But I have written down, it's like, yeah, how do we balance for if you're losing? And I still have in my head that because your parts break eventually, if you're just particularly good with a certain set, you know, they will kind of self-balance in a way. But if you're just generally good, then yeah, how do you make it fair for everybody? So maybe there needs to be a bit of a draft phase, or maybe you get, like if we're doing the claw thing, you get like first 10, you know, you get 5 second head start, or
the loser gets to enter the supermarket sweep 15 seconds before everyone else.
15 seconds.
And then the winner goes in way later, and they have to pick from the scraps.
Trying to sweep scrap off a shelf and just messing their arm up in the process.
This will have to do, because I destroyed my flamethrower last fight. And now I'm going to have to replace it with a shield. That doesn't work for my entire loadout, but I need something. I guess I'll go with that then.
Does the loadout that you have affect how you can collect the next parts? Like, if you're a certain kind of
I think
of
it should
robot,
be the engineers run out into the arena. Okay.
So you would want
to pick up pieces.
Little janitors.
The only thing I had here for like parts was that if you maybe had three of the same part from the same manufacturer, I mean, so if you had arms, chest, and legs from the same manufacturer, you might get a bit of a bonus to might last a bit longer, but you would sacrifice potentially having like over the top stuff. So, you know, you might have maybe there are parts out there that have that are a bit like crazy over the top rocket launcher, but it doesn't match with anything. So you could be like, I favor having, you know, all the same part. I've got a, you know, cohesive robot, or you've got someone's gone tiny legs, giant body, chest, and fucking rocket arms, and they're like, I'm gonna mess you up. It's like, yeah, but that's gonna last like one round. You're gonna be outside. It doesn't matter. They're gonna mess you up. So that might make you then think, okay, well, I won't pick my prized parts for this round because they've got some particularly good parts.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I think there's I just like the strategy element of like seeing which parts you've got, what ones you might want to swap out. You know, it's almost like Formula One. You'd be like, oh, I'm going to swap to my wet tires now. It feels like the right time. But
I don't know whether you would sacrifice the part in doing so or keep it. And do you have like a clothes rack of different parts?
Just pick it out.
I feel like it would be, yeah, exactly. I feel like it would be like, no, you've chosen to remove a part, so it gets scrapped. It's gone.
Yeah, maybe you should get like, you get a scrap value. If it's not been through a lot of fights, then it's obviously worth more. But the more you put it through, the less scrap you get. But it's just, well, yeah, I don't think we decided what you do with scrap, right? Because you pick everything, you find everything. Unless you can like add mods to stuff, or maybe it costs. Well, okay, what if you did this? What if you picked up two versions of the same thing and it costs scrap to combine them, so their degradation obviously went up? And like the, I think that's the only thing I can think of right now off the top of my head. That is a good way of spending money and combining that, searching for parts. Because you could find a part, see another one, you're like, I'll pick that up anyway because I can then save that. And then when this one, you know, has damage, I can maybe combine them and save some.
That's the thing. I think there is something in the auto chess, but you are actively playing the battles sort of thing.
So chess.
I like
it's auto chess, but you're playing it.
You know what I mean? Like the shop comes up and you're like, fucking amazing. The exact boots I was looking for that would upgrade my stuff, they've come up. I think I like the idea of this being an online game, not necessarily a local multiplayer game. And you've all got your individual shops, you've all got the buy phase, and you can spend certain amounts of scrap to re-roll the shop, upgrade pieces, buy new stuff, replace things and things like that. However, that then, you know, doesn't necessarily work in tandem with the party game style of everyone running into the arena at the same time to pick up the pieces they want for their thing. So it depends how party gamey we want this. But I think there can be some elements taken out of auto chess for upgrading pieces and buying new pieces and swapping out stuff when you think like, yeah, this just isn't up to scratch for what the other people have built. I need to get rid of this piece because it's holding me back. Stuff like that, I think, would make it really, really cool. And as long as there's enough variation in all of the different pieces, like, yeah, you've got the pre-built shit where it's like, oh, you've managed to build an entire robot from the macro tech company. Amazing. You've got this bonus. But then there's another guy who's like, ah, yeah, but I got fucking blazing boots and rocket launcher and a shield on my left arm and my helmet can shoot lasers. And I was like, what? None of this matches up. Why are you winning?
I love that idea. Definitely. Burning the candle at both ends as well. So you know they're going to burn through their parts as well, but they look cool doing it. So
yeah. Or even like the degradation is how much they use it. So you can try and force them to use, like you want them to get rid of their laser weapons, stay away from them so they have to shoot at you, and then force them to wear down their weaponry or stuff like that. I think it's cool. I think I like the idea, and I think you should make it.
How do you win this? Like, how is it? Is it a tournament? Like, do you have X matches that you're going through, or is it just like it's all just versus online or local, whatever, and it's just like single matches or like just rounds?
I had just imagined it would be points based. So you win 20 rounds and that's it.
Right. Okay. I see. Yeah. So first to X rounds or first to X points.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of it. I feel like there is something in having some kind of, like Tom, what you were saying about it being that auto chess style, a little bit, like leaning a little bit towards that. Like that's kind of where that's where I'm at in terms of where I want to see auto chess, but then you're also controlling the things as well. Chess. I don't know.
We made chess again. Great.
Tom, what is this at this point?
A reinvention of chess is what this is. Chess 2. That's what we should call this one.
Chess 2.
It is a side-scrolling, hectic, beat-em-up platformer, multiplayer, whether it's local or not online, undecided as yet, where you design and upgrade and build your mech robots to have a slobber knocker brawl against three other players.
A who or what?
A slobber knocker. You never heard of a slobber knocker?
No. Slobber, do I want to Google that?
I didn't have that written down mode in my notes, but we'll go with it.
Yeah. And yeah, and in between each battle, after round one, and the commentator says, round one, winner, fuckfest, 5,000 wins this round. And then you all go back to the warehouse where a shit ton of scrap is dumped in there. The losers get to run in first, potentially, to pick up the upgrades for their machines. And the winners have to deal with the scraps. And that's how you deal with snowball effect. And you build messy, nasty, beautiful robots to claw your way to the very top against your opponents. It's like Smash Bros. If everyone was Metal Mario.
Can you name them? Can you name the robots that you make?
You can name the robots, 100%.
Right. I'm definitely.
Because at the end, Gary. They have to be on the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And Robert Llewellyn is going to present as well, alongside Craig Charles.
What? Why?
Well, he was on Scrappy Challenge.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like the guy.
Yeah, he was the presenter.
He was.
We're going all the nostalgia feels today, man. Tom.
I feel like that's a pretty solid game. I feel like you've done a good one, James. I feel like you've pitched this elevator restaurant is actually working out.
Now, is this better or worse than Metronome, a rhythm game where you are a gnome doing gnome things?
It just really depends what the gnome is doing.
Are. Yeah.
Well, we know what gnome things are.
Like every
where do
on
new gnomes
every beat,
come from?
On every beat, a bus comes past and you have to flash.
Flash. That's one of them. It's like a WarioWare mini game.
Flash. Yeah. Twirl. Flash.
Is that what gnomes do?
It's like Guitar Hero, but it's just knob gymnastics.
Well, that's the preview episode.
I do not want to know what the peripheral for that game is.
If you have any ideas of what gnome things are, maybe you can let us know.
Tell me your gnome things at Pitch Please Pod without any vowels on Twitter or in the comments or in the reviews. Or I don't know why I always say or at the end of these, like I've prepared a fourth option and I never have. Hack into my PC and leave a notepad document on my desktop.
Amazing. That's a challenge.
Send Tom pictures of you flashing buses.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. With ideas written down the shaft.
Beautiful. All right. Battle bits. I think that's a success. James, thank you very much for your first idea.
No worries.
Maybe at some point we can delve further into your Trellos. Maybe not Gnome, Metronome.
Metronome? No, okay. Right.
I'm sure there are other great ideas in there.
That was everything.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
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 I just googled slobber knocker.
Yeah, what happened?
And I found the Urban Dictionary version of it, and it's not fun.